first field meeting and the Bible study? Did he come?
Yeah, he did. Very good.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 63, 27, 58.
What are you doing?
I have no idea.
Are you guys, this is my little reminder, are you guys working on that last board?
I am now. I forgot.
We're deep into the consultation about the last word.
If we can get that next week, that would be wonderful.
All right.
The last word next week.
Kevin, you're still on that prime minister. At FBO web.
You're not letting MBS Bible studies either.
I fixed that last night.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It's official. I don't start work till 9 a.m.
I was not even talking to you. I was talking to Pete.
I wasn't talking to you either.
Oh, okay.
That's part of his first fruit offering was talking about the fact that he wants to come in here and just be...
Be left alone.
We'll just listen to the morning meeting rather than having to start work.
I don't blame him.
Let's do that.
And he has to go get Stuart ready and the people stopping.
Just smack him.
It's just too damn poppy.
Yeah, I know. It's nice to be lost sometimes.
We're going to intervene on his behalf.
There he is.
So Kevin's going to pout and sit in the back. He's not pouting?
No. He's happy.
He's happy?
It's in the basket.
Let's review what we've been talking about, because I still don't think people get it.
Maybe you should ask what everybody thinks we're talking about.
We're usually talking about the cross.
What are we talking about?
You. I open that every morning just to...
Sorry, I go freaking blind.
But I know that, but I open it anyway. I consciously open it when I'm coming in because...
I had 20 years to get used to.
What?
I had
20
years to get used to.
To use 23,
24. 30,
whatever the hell it is.
Get used to what? Can we catch up on old times after a while? Glenn comes in here and he interrupts everything just off the bat. No, it's that shirt. That's the problem.
It's
kind of baby crap green.
The nice thing is you throw up on an old shelf.
Yeah.
Actually, I was trying to change some things on the refrigerator.
I don't know what.
Can we get back on track here?
It's either very new cheese or very old meat.
For St. Patrick's Day.
That's a nail sign.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
When?
Friday.
Back to review. Adam was created out of the dust of the ground. And he was breathed, God breathed on him, and he became a living soul. Soul is not good. It was initially, before the fall, but soul is not any good. Yet, there's massive confusion. Everybody talks about soul and spirit, as if they're interchangeable. Your body, obviously you know what your body is, you can see it. Your soul is your emotions, your mind, your whatever it is that makes you you, your you-ness. And the spirit is that which is eternal, that which is part of you that is to be, and you are to transform your soul from the inside out, not the outside in. That's what everybody tries to do. They try to fix themselves from the outside in. And they forget that nothing from without the man can defile the man, because it just goes out the draught. But that which defileth which leads to murders and fornications and sorceries and every other evil thing, is already within. So you can't fix anything. You try to fix it, you just become a muzzled beast. But you're still a beast. And the Bible calls you you're a brute beast because you're making your judgments about life based on what you sense, the same way that any brute beast does. And Adam was to have dominion over everything but himself. And of course, that didn't. He wanted more in Eve, and so they both became. They wanted to be as God, knowing good and evil. And so the fall occurred. When the fall occurred, he no longer had dominion over a piss ant. And so he spent his life trying to gain dominion again. And so has the entire human race since then. And you no longer concern yourself with having dominion over everything. You try to have dominion over your very small, limited environment. And that doesn't work.
Over your sock drawer.
Your sock drawer. Harry has dominion over his Post-its.
Not really.
They fight me.
So the whole mystery of God radically changed once the fall occurred. And we don't hear enough about the fall. We don't know. We don't. For some reason, the human being, he can take and hear the mystery of the cross, and he uses it to keep himself alive and to get fixed and to get delivered, and all that does, because of the fall, all that does is you're continually trying to work it. So the reward, the mystery of God, is not reckoned of grace, but of debt or obligation. And so even your very sincere efforts to try to find truth or be a truth seeker, or whatever you do, your great efforts to try to, be a good Christian, whatever the hell that means, they all fail. Because you are, as soon as there's an effort to do, then that obligation sets in. As soon as there is any doing, then the obligation sets in, and debt sets in, and pretty soon there's periods of enlightenment and periods of seeing, but it's just whap, the debt falls back on you. And some of you are good at acting, so you don't act like there's a debt. But others, like Glenn, are terrible actors. I'm not mentioning any names, but Harry, there's only one person that's a worse actor than Glenn, and that's Harry. Harry can't make it, and that's good. Now, God help us if we were all like Gary, because Gary is an actor, born actor. He even has convinced himself that he's an honest liar. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
I was looking up here at this sign. It says fettuccine Alfredo with shrimp or chicken, parentheses, not both. And that's like the evidence of our total fallenness, is that probably somebody, even after that, came up and wanted both. And it's like, we're the...
No, it's...
Usually
it's,
just or with...
With supplies.
Not here.
Not here.
Somebody did. Yeah, I'll think about Michael. Let's find out who it was
and kill him. You already did. Everybody, you've already killed everybody in this room.
Oh. Not yet this morning.
It's a new day.
You're first in line.
Yeah, and you're first in line.
So what's new?
What's it, the deal about the guy that shoots everybody and then complains because he's alone? Or kills his parents and then complains because he's an orphan?
He pleads mercy before the judge because he's an orphan. I can't tell you how critical this is to understand, to, so that you're no longer a debtor to this thing, this beast you call your mind and yourself. It is beyond description in its evilness. It's all it's capable of doing is witchcraft, sorcery, rebellion, augury. And it's a set pattern that's defined how you do it. That's what all of the Old Testament is. It shows you how you do, what your mind does. So back to Adam. He was to have dominion over everything but himself. He was born innocent. Innocent meaning without self-awareness. Innocent meaning without good or evil. And he was to transform that innocence into holiness. Because God doesn't want innocence, he wants holiness, because he is holy. That's why it says, be ye holy, even as your heavenly Father is. And he wants the holiness because that's the only way there can be fellowship with him. That's the only way that, somebody used to say, God wanted pals. He didn't want your obedience by what you think of obedience, because that's with obligation. He wants you to observe to do, which is, you know his heart so well that you do what is necessary without even thinking about it. And that can only be done in Christ. You were created in his image, and then Christ is a fulfillment of his likeness. So until you know. That's why the only one of the few places where it talks about, it tells you to examine yourself, to even think about yourself at all. And it says, examine yourself, prove to your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Why is that? Reprobate is a legal word. It means incapable of repentance. You can do the worldly repentance. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do better. I'm going to do better next time. Oh, poor me. But you can never abandon yourself, which is the meaning of repentance. And so no matter how long and how many times you hear the mystery, your mind wants a how-to. Your mind wants to be fixed. You want to be delivered. You want to be fixed. And so you fall for every con job that comes down the pike. Every little seductive hooker that is walking all around you, you fall for them. Boom, boom, boom. And under every green tree, because the green tree is that new idea or new thing or new how-to, every green tree... Under every green tree is where you are committing fornication. And you know, you've got forests in your mind. Because you think those green trees are the tree of life.
Having just read the readings for Purim, the Purim story keeps coming up in my mind as you talk, the difference between Mordecai and Haman and how they react to the king and how the king reacts to them. And on the one hand, you've got all this maneuvering and plotting and trying to get, and on the other hand, you've got this guy who does what the king would want without even thinking about it, without asking for a reward. It goes unrewarded for years. It doesn't matter. It's just cool.
Because he's doing it without debt, without obligation.
And the other guy, it's total adding this up and that up and subtracting and planning.
But you understand that you are the Haman. me, I am the Haman. We are the ones that do. We try to gain an advantage and maneuver, even if we're really nice. But we're still doing it because that's all that we're hardwired to do. That. That's why you can't. you have to see through every single thought, and you see through it by there is. I've said this for 1,000 years. Seems like. No thought that you can have can stand against the finishedness of Christ. You've been perfected by one offering. It is finished. The gift of God is eternal life. So you can't, as long as you're not playing in the fallen creature's ball game, you're free. But the minute you go back to the mind and try to have success. You read a how-to book and wah! You know, to go to some program and, I'm doing better. And then you believe that every day and every way you're becoming a better and better person. And you're just setting yourself up for the next fall. You cannot trust any aspect of you. You cannot give any credence to anything about you. You can have no confidence in anything about you. You can have no confidence in your ideas. You can have no confidence in your abilities. You can have no confidence in your emotional maturity. You can have no confidence in any aspect of your mental or emotional or soulish activities because they're all a lie. And as Harry once said, everything you have ever learned and everything that we have ever seen and everything that we have ever perceived and every how-to that we have is a lie. And it's a lie because it doesn't work. The test is something. It has to work in every environment, every possible time. So the only battle, we got all these names for pillars and groves and Ashtaroth and the Queen of Heaven and all these names, but they're only about you. They're not about something external to you. They're about you so that you can see the incredible, unredeemable evilness of your own mind. But you can deceive yourself. You split your life up into segments. So you have a morning Bible study personality, then you have a personality when you're with your relatives, then you have a personality when you're working, and once you leave the mystery and return for any reason into the kingdom of darkness, which all those are, you have raised this evil one from his deadly head wound. And he holds sway. The evil one holds, still trying to get dominion over his little world. So no matter how sweet your idea, how precious it is, how incredible, logical, and how prudent it is, no matter, not your idea, your thought, it is pure evil. Even what you're doing right now, I'm trying to understand what I'm saying. Because you're trying to apprehend with that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. That's why the only thing you can do is bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Now, if you had a really good memory, you could remember who you really are. You could remember this desperate anxiety and aloneness and fear that was your real you as that small, helpless child. You haven't changed. You're still that desperately alone, have created all these this magic and spells and around you so that you can act like you're nice. And does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
I like that. Johnny had my phone before I had my phone, I think. I don't remember. And so I inherited it from Johnny. But every time I turn on my phone, if I actually turn it off and turn it back on, has a little message that comes up that Johnny programmed in there. I don't even know how to do anything with it. It's a little message that all it says is, be funny. And so it's like whatever I'm, I get involved in, or my mind's doing something weird, and I turn on my phone, it's this little message that says, be funny. It's like everything just kind of poofs out into nothingness.
I was thinking about what I was seeing while you were describing this is how our mind has a contract with our soul, and they're partners, and they're working together to accomplish all of personal ends.
A business metaphor.
They're
a business metaphor.
Yeah.
They're married.
Yeah, and it's an evil contract, if you think.
Well, you're unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's what that means. It doesn't mean worrying about what you're doing out in the world. You're unequally yoked with yourself. That's why it says, come out of her, my people. That didn't mean come out of the... It has nothing to do with anything in the world. Come out of her, my people, is the kingdom of the whore. And that kingdom is where you live. And so the only way you can come out of her is when you don't give any credence to any aspect of your own thought process or feelings or ideas or emotions or history or anything else.
I'm just thinking about when Haman comes out all excited and everything's going so well and he sees Mordecai sitting there refusing to bow down. That little drama has played out in me over and over and over and over.
Well,
it comes crashing down, and I'm hung on my own gallows. And
this is why
Mordecai's been sitting there the whole time, just quietly waiting.
This is why it's not. John and I talked about this the other day, that this is not, you don't do signs and wonders. You are a sign and wonder, because that's what that message was in the book of Esther, is that Mordecai was a sign and wonder to the entire kingdom. Not because he did anything, he just sort of hung around, but he knew that he was totally 100% dependent on the king. Nothing else. But the minute you have a how-to or what to do, then you no longer become, then you've just fallen back into the system of the world.
John, when I came in the other day and talked to Harry and John, after I talked about what I want to talk about, John told me some of the stuff that was said in the Bible, so anyway, long story short, he said, everything that we do is based on gravitation toward pleasure and away from pain. Everything. And that just floored me. And, it's exactly what I do.
Well, that's back to the overview a minute. When you are this small, helpless, totally alone, isolated hunk of protoplasm, and you're pretty okay until you have a consciousness of self, and that normally, you may suffer, but you don't know that it's strange to suffer. You may be hungry, but you cry, but you don't know that there's anything. The only point of reference that you have is. There's no reference to anything that you should be any different than that. But once you, once the idea of a, of your you become aware of yourself, then all hell breaks loose. And you have to create in your mind a method of surviving. And you have to learn how to behave right to get what you want. You have to learn how to follow the rules in order to be fed. Otherwise, you'll be sent to bed. You have to eat your peas so you can get your dessert. Whatever the infinite number of little belief systems, all of this process, it didn't happen in ancient, back here. It happened in you. Everything that went on in the Bible happened in you. And that's why we must, that's why we celebrate the feast, because it's not about them destroying their idolatry. It's a picture of what you, I've been talking to Ronnie about poverty consciousness. And it has nothing to do with money. Some of the richest people in the world, their being is based on poverty consciousness, because they need to have something in order to have to fulfill their identity. I saw once a long time ago a study of how most truly, really successful people are short. No, the Ross Perot's and the Napoleon kind of people. Because they have a poverty consciousness about their, you know, it happened because they looked around, everybody else was tall, so they had to do something to compensate. Talk about a poverty consciousness. We have the idyllic example of poverty consciousness and the extent that that will take you sitting right here in the room. Mr. Buckner. Gary had a very bad childhood. He was short. But he was extremely slender. Puny. And he determined that he was going to be something other than he was. And so he worked his tail off, which is admirable by everybody's standards. And he became, he missed the Olympics, 64 Olympics by just a hair. And so his whole identity is still wrapped up in what he didn't have as a little kid. Harry is convinced. I mean, you ever listen to Harry talk? It's always inserting some reference to himself, no matter what it is you talk about. And that's a poverty consciousness. Because there has to be, and it's not his fault, it's because when he was that small child, his father was violent. Now, and you can't blame this on your parents or anything else. It's the lot that you were given. But that lot now is time for that little son of a bitch to die. We want to crucify that little puny kid and this poor little victim, and we want to see that you have a brand new life that has nothing to do and except that everything you went through had to be exactly as it was so that without you thinking about anything, you would automatically fulfill the calling wherein you were called. But for everybody in this room, it's now time to totally divorce yourself from all of that. You don't have to be subject to it anymore. There's no more poverty consciousness, because now in Christ you are it's not just, I mean, you are not just a partner with or anything, you are literally connected to the first source of all things. So there is nothing that you can be concerned about. That's why the scriptures say a little child will lead them. It's not talking about marching order, you know. It's that little child, it's that little darling infant before self-awareness is our guide. Not our stupid ideas and our talents and our abilities, because those are all meaningless. You can't play the piano for Jesus. You can just live and play the piano, but as long as it's got your mind, it's got your attention, and, oh, this is what I'm going to be really good at, and this is, then it all falls apart.
Can't smoke brisket for Jesus?
No. No more than you can take a crap for Jesus. You can't segment any part of your life. That's why it says he has possessed our reins. You know what the word reins is? It's your kidneys. Even that part of you that I need an airborne. No, it's been going on all night. No. Does anybody hear me?
I continue to think about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and the way we're talking today, the kingdom of darkness, you get caught in possibility thinking, you know, all, but it's easy, the way we're talking today, it's easy to see that the possibilities, they're just all like being drowned in cement.
It's just, right.
The possibilities is very dark and slow and nothing dead.
Just think of the grace. I mean, yesterday we talked, or whenever it was, I think it was yesterday, the day before one, we talked about gratitude. Well, let me give you some gratitude. Every single one of us has crucified the Son afresh every single day. And we're not burnt toast. That's gratitude. That's why truth has to be a sustained consciousness of error, so that there's always abandonment. You leave yourself behind with every breath. There's no learning anything. You can't think about something.
What do you say, sustained self-consciousness?
No, the sustained consciousness of error. Truth is a sustained consciousness of error. So that repentance is not a one-time thing or a periodic thing. It's the only thing. And especially over something that puts you as the subject of your sentence. I've got a good idea. Listen to your own talk. How many times, I promise you, out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Just hear how many times I is used. When Paul used I, when he referred to himself, he apologized. He said, I speak as a fool. Well, some of us, that's the only way we know how to speak is as a fool. Because it's a constant reference to I. That's why we sing the new song. And we sing it with our very being. That's because we've lost the I motive. That's the new song, that it's impossible for the world to ever hear, because the world will speak well of you when you do good unto yourself. I mean, you guys know it from your families. Your families still think you're crazy for being here.
There's a scripture I was reading the other day about he will give wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the understanding or something like that. And it's like you'd think it would be say you give wisdom to the people who aren't wise because they need a little bit of wisdom. But it's talking about Christ is already in you as the wise and the understanding. And so then you don't have to worry about it. It just comes or goes.
The certification of that is in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. He says, He, Christ, is made unto us wisdom. He is made unto us understanding. He is made unto us holiness. It's all Him. You're not even in the picture. Well, you don't understand my situation, Ole. I've got all these things going on. Well, and then you're a fool. I'm not gonna pay any attention to this when I go out and do my job. I just go out and do my job. Because you won't have a sustained consciousness of error. You'll be trying to do your job based on you instead of on dependence on God. You'll be trying to do it based on leaning on your own arm of understanding instead of that childlike dependence. So nothing will become automatic. Nothing will become just what being. It will all, everything you do is trying to do. That's enough. Anybody have any response? May I call him Mr. Bojo?
Of course.
But I can't call him Bojo.
Light Reverend Mr.
Bojo. General Bojo. John, everything. Well, because I got too many damn Johns.
Just call me Skippers.
Yeah, that's it. John, did any response to any of this? It's kind of big, but.
It's huge.
Michael?
Yeah. The sustained consciousness of error. That's present. You can agree with your adversary quickly.
Yeah, and you never have anything to protect. You're always transparent. When your conscience is seared as with a hot iron, that's not talking about those evil people out there. That's when you lose the sustained consciousness of error. Then you've seared your mind. You think you're just doing it for a minute, but you've seared your being from God.
You can't empty anymore because it's all sealed up.
Do what's in front of you and then repent.
Well, it's again when the I motive is gone, then it's like a bad memory. If you ever even think about it at all, you think, how could I have ever been so stupid?
I was so stupid.
Wade can do it.
Wade, I'm going to smack you, just on general principle.
I'm a little teapot.
Anybody else?
I'm probably wrong, but you're right.
No, we had Ronnie's first fruit meeting, and most time I picked on Gary last night.
Yeah, it's like, whose first fruit meeting is this?
Ronnie was getting jealous.
Yell at me.
No, I didn't yell at anybody, did I?
No. He was very sweet and nice, kind and gentle.
I'm saying it's like there's parallel universes. And Christ is the reality, and we opt often for this paltry, soulless, shadowish world when everything is free and it's our inheritance. And it's right there. That's the first time I ever really kind of understood parallel universes.
No, that's why we live our real universe is the New Jerusalem. We're seated on the mercy seat.
When you say you have gratitude, when you recognize that you have a sustained error of consciousness, that's when you can be, you say something about it.
Well, I spent the whole couple days on gratitude, but it's...
I know, but you just mentioned it briefly. You said that's when you have gratitude, is when you
have true gratitude when you've lost yourself. Otherwise, the gratitude is... Otherwise, the gratitude is about you. Even in your gratitude, you become the subject of the sentence.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
Can we beat him with a stick?
Would you call us off? Wait.
I'm so glad I'm not like a sick.
This is the king delight to
us. All righty. Take it, big guy. We're going to meet this 8:30?
Yeah, 8:30.
Whenever you say.
8:30. Are you going to be nice and sweet and lovable? I want to remember. I'm 6:30.